It is, yeah, when you don't allow everyone to operate on fair terms.
We are the Robin Hoods of sports betting. We take something back from the rich bookies and enable our customers to beat them instead.
G'day everyone, welcome to episode 2 of Sunday Streams with Trademate Sports, where we answer your betting questions, discuss both new and old betting strategies, how to best use the Trademate Sports software, and welcome guests from around the betting industry. Today, as you can see, I'm joined by the Chief Marketing Officer of Parimatch. Parimatch launched in Kiev in 1994 and is one of the leading sports betting companies in the former Soviet Union. They operate in a dozen territories, including a white label partnership with BetVictor in Britain. One of the areas Parimatch has focused on is betting on combat sports with their brand ambassadors, Mike Tyson and Conor McGregor. They are also expanding into parts of Europe, having recently signed a partnership deal with Cristiano Ronaldo, who will front an advertising campaign for Parimatch. Ivan Lyashenko, welcome to Sunday Streams. I hope I pronounced that all right.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. It's almost brilliant. Yeah, yeah. As for now, no, we are not sponsors of Cristiano Ronaldo. Nevertheless, we are with Juventus, and we can use him along with four other players, which is good, because if you have number one player all over the world, it's fine, even if you have to use four other stars, basically.
Okay, sorry about that, mate. But we can still say it. Why not? Just for today. Mate, I've got quite a few questions for you, and I'm sure some of our audience does too. So everyone start sending in your questions and we'll get to them at some point during the stream. But I'll get us started today, mate. It's quite a broad question, but as Chief Marketing Officer of Parimatch, how do you want to overall, like how do you want to market Parimatch to the public?
You said the right way, yeah, that we focused on combat sports, that's boxing, MMA, and so on. We also we basically built on three pillars all our marketing positioning. It's combat sports, esports, and global football deals like Leicester City, Everton, Juventus, and others. So basically, we are delighted that we have Conor McGregor, because we associate our company and trying to market a company a lot, like the cutting the edge, like the company that can make something that others can do. Of course, we are not Paddy Power, because Paddy Power is more like, you know, has a Joker role, let's say. We don't want to be the Jokers, but we want to be like something other from the market. If very briefly in that way, if say something more wider, yeah, basically we won't recognize ourselves as an entertaining platform, because we have both sportsbook and casino, we have virtual sports, we are set up for fantasy sports, so we're now looking at the social casino and social games as a potential for growth. So if talk about the product strategy and not the marketing strategies for now, we look at ourselves as like super app, yeah, like the product that can integrate a lot of entertaining services, of course connected some way with gambling, with real money gambling or not real money gambling, but nevertheless it's not all about the risk. So we are the risk.
are there any like restrictions in the gambling industry or any changes you'd like to see that would allow you to maybe be a bit more adventurous with your marketing activities, or are you quite happy with how the gambling industry is set up for you guys?
Absolutely not happy with it. Absolutely. As much as I cannot be that much not happy with all the regulations, because you know, we have like around 10 licenses directly or through partnerships. So I know a lot of licensing in different countries. And for example, when we're talking about you know, you can just divide all the licensing issues around the world into two parts. Yeah, from the one side, I would say I'm not happy with the UKGC, with the UK Gambling Commission, but nevertheless, I see that they do something for the players. They have some weird rules, like use players younger than 25 years for your quite weird, but nevertheless, I may associate myself with all these rules. But in the other countries, yeah, you know, like some government officials are willing just to control the market just for their own interest. They are just trying to set up their own payment systems to make them like monopolist on the market, and that's it. That's not about the problems of the gamblers. It's not about the questions of the problem gambling. It's just like, you know, making some legislation just for good of particular people in the country. So, as I structured it, the TV ad, if all actors are not from the particular country, for example, in Belarus, where we are a licensed bookmaker and number one bookmaker, they say, yeah, you know, the market is smaller than, I don't know, let's say it's like 2 or 3% of the UK market, even less, maybe even less, yeah. But they're expecting that all the gambling companies that are advertising in Belarus will have all the actors with a Belarus citizenship. Of course, it's absolutely impossible because it's not Hollywood. Yeah, if United States applied such a legislation, it would look at least normal. Yeah, of course, you are like cutting a lot of good actors from other sides of the world, but when you work with the United States, it's okay. But when we're talking about the country without cinema industry, yeah, it raises a lot of questions. That's like an example. Of course, we struggle with different countries where, like, different countries may not recognize the international laboratories like ICOGRA and others who license the slot games for casino. Yeah, it's an issue as well, because when you're making some promo and so on, it may concern you a lot. Talking about, for example, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's going in and out a little bit, so I'm struggling to hear you every now and then. But okay, we've lost Ivan for the moment, and hopefully he will join us. So, I mean, in the meantime, if you guys got any questions for me, you can always feel free to send them through. But Ivan might be back now.
Yeah, he's back.
I think that
now it would be much better because I choose the wrong Wi-Fi.
Okay, mate. No worries. So yeah, if you want to continue what you were saying before, unless you were done, I've got no idea because I couldn't really hear you.
Yeah. Can we talk about the actors? Yeah, for example, that you or the advertising on TV is sponsorship and so on. So basically, there are some good things like KYC, ML procedures all over the world because you know. The guys who are to collect money from those who can't earn them, like teen and or who use gaming for money laundering, of course, it's a bad thing. So when we're coming for some regulation regarding KYC and IML procedures, it's absolutely normal because it's right, yeah, basically. And big betting companies like ours would struggle if others can do that, and basically it's like stains on our industry as a whole, let's say.
Okay. I was watching one of your videos on Parry Match. It was like a 20-minute video, you talking about, you know, your marketing strategies for Parry Match. And talking about working with the likes of Conor McGregor and these kind of superstars. One of the things you said that I thought was quite interesting is you said you want your customers to feel like they are Conor McGregor. Can you explain exactly what you what you mean by that, and whether you maybe you want them to be rich or something like that?
No, of course, you understand that the gambling industry is entertainment industry, yeah? And to have all the video streams on the website, have all these odds, to have a lot of things, you have to employ thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people just to make the product. So it's all about entertainment, of course. As the first thing, entertainment, not like making someone rich. Talked about making feel like Conor McGregor. You know, Conor is the man who dares. Yeah, dares to win, dares to confront Dana White, for example, and so on. So this is the thing that anyone can make his own bet. Yeah, and. He will feel some way satisfied with that bet. What do I mean with that? You know, a man can jump with parachute, for example, or go for skiing or snowboarding or something like that. But when you're talking about a parachute may not open sometime, or you can break your legs when you're making extreme on the slopes on your ski or snowboard. So placing a bet, you like making an extreme thing, yeah. But you risk no more than like $20 or how much you want to risk. So that's it. It's like taking the risk. But if Conor McGregor risks with his health every time in octagon, our customers may feel quite the same feeling, but not risking their health at all.
Okay, what about for those who maybe have been quite successful with sports betting and, you know, have found successful strategies and know that they have an edge over the market? Do you think, like, do you welcome all kinds of sports bettors, or is it more so the ones that are looking for entertainment, as you put it earlier?
Yeah, we are entertainment bookmaker. It's all about the positioning. If you will research the product, yeah, you would see it with our bet limits, with our odds, with how we act with customers who, for example, trying to make the sure bet, and so on. So we are more about entertainment, of course, because if you look, for example, at companies like Pinnacle, they do not introduce to their customers the instant withdrawals, for example. Yeah, as far as I remember, you still can withdraw the money from the Pinnacle account only once a month without extra fees. For example, they would not even have so much video streams on the website, and so on and so on. They won't have like promo activities like we have, or other entertainment bookmakers like Unibet, William Hill, Ladbrokes, pretty much have. Yeah, because their business is quite different from ours. It's not bad. It's not good. Yeah, it's how it goes. That's when we're talking about the sure bets. When you're talking about, for example, value bets, yeah, when the traders were not right at the moment and customers found something that they know some information that is more than making them more informed than the bookmakers. That's okay. That's absolutely normal thing, because nowadays betting companies take a lot of from feeds like Betrader, BetGenius, other companies. They won't even look or set their live traders to look at, I don't know, Argentina second league, or I don't know, Angola second league, or something like that, or some volleyball. Of course, if some customers are really interested, if they like they like coach number two for this team, yeah, and they know everything about it, it's absolutely normal. Nevertheless, if they are such professionals on their side, I would maybe go and work for some betting company, because they have very, very relevant information. And of course, when we're talking about the companies, yeah, they may be quite interested in such players. Nevertheless, it all depends on turnover on the games.
Okay. Yeah, we just had a question come in. I'll get up on our screen from Marianic, and he says, when you get limited with a bookmaker and go to customer support chat, they ask why you and ask them why you can't place a bet anymore. They just tell you the trading team has decided to close your account. And he just continues on here with no further explanations or anything. Why is that happening? Because I can understand, the situations like you said before with the sure bets, like the arbitrage, these kind of things. A lot of the customers that we have like to just place value bets, like you said, and just place one side of the wager. Why do you think that they are closing down accounts generally?
I can talk about our company and how it happens in our company, because we have anti-fraud department. I mean, anti-fraud that is responsible for the sports betting anti-fraud. And from the other side, we have different departments. These two streams basically responsible for our margin within sports. So they have their own conflicts within when anti-fraud says it's a bad customer, let's cut all the limits. And from the other thing, traders say, I would like to play with him, don't touch him. It goes and on and on. It's like normal business conflict, let's say, because when, for example, some years ago, I tried to understand the nature of the conflict more deeply, I thought it would be very, very good and right, to make anti-fraud stream the part of trading department. So basically, now I understand that this conflict within the company is quite good, because everyone, trying to make their work done. Talking about why there is always or often no explanation, because if someone says when we talking about customer support, any customer support representative words written or said within the phone call basically is the official position of the company at the moment. If someone failed and, for example, customer support representative is not right, it's too much, it may cause too much harm for our image and so on. So if you are not sure till the end at what your customer representative would say, you should not give him such a power. You have to say that, like, you are a bad customer, we don't want to play with you. So it's like much easier for big brands, big entertaining brands, just to say no explanation, sorry, come to another company. So basically, it's a question of the image of the company and the value of the word. So if maybe it would be trend in some years when there would be, I don't know, queues of let's say successful or bad players, whatever we call it, with not customer representative or, I don't know, with supervisor or head of support, and maybe if it not like be the official position of the company, it also be okay, because you understand that all of the time there are percent of false positive fraud triggers. Until we have false positive, and all the world will have false positive for anti-fraud for a long, long time ahead, we can't rely on this data as a point of view of our company and any other company as well.
Okay. Do you think it's, fair for customers to, because there's two sides to it, isn't there? There's people that are not very good sports bettors, or they just want to have a lot of fun, and maybe even some people have a bit of a problem and can't stop sports betting and lose lots of money. And then there's the people that actually make a living off sports betting, and that's like their sole income. Do you think it's there have been lots of cases, I guess, where bookmakers have allowed sports bettors who are not very good to just keep playing and keep losing their money, but then on the other hand they don't want to allow the good sports bettors to keep using their service. Do you think How do you see that plan? Like, how do you see that scenario, and do you think that's fair?
That's a very good question, I would say. But the answer is in the nature of our business. We know from the experience, and for example, Mr. Green Casino, I mean, it was acquired by William Hill a few years ago, but nevertheless, I talk about the history of Mr. Green before the acquisition by William Hill. They basically made their system for early detection of problem players with problem gambling patterns, just to make the LTV more through the time. So for betting companies, basically, when the customers start losing too much money, we understand that we just may burn out all this base. So, for example, no normal betting company would work closely, for example, with payday loans or some companies who borrow money, because you can like turn the customer and drive him to some loan website. He would take the loan, then lose this, I don't know, plus £100 and or $100, and that's it. You lose player for years. Nevertheless, if you will calm him down, it would be okay. He would play, and he would not lose this $100 in one night, but he would lose $20 a month, like for a year or something like that. Yeah. So basically, no betting company, no normal betting company is interested in just losing money by the players. Yeah, we are all about taking margin through the time. That's it. It's a business model of the entertainment, gambling or betting company. So we are interested for people to bet, to win some time, to lose some time. And after all, we will take a margin. All our margin is understood from the odds, from the prices. All the margin on the casino slots is on the website of the providers. And you also can see the RTP rates for every slot. So basically, that's the price the players pay for all this industry to work. That's it. But it's not about when we're talking about problem gamblers. Yeah, that we are interested in problem gamblers. So any normal company will try to stop this activity. Yeah. But from the other side, when we're talking about the bet players, yeah, who make sure bets and so on, that's the other problem. Yeah, when you come, you have like new customer who bets a lot with huge amounts of money. And you think, oh, is he there or is he potential VIP player? Yeah, you never know. Basically, this time, yeah, you have to make the decision whether you are ready to take the risk and play with him, or maybe he is not right. So that's the thing. And we also every time with the first bets, we got some limits. It's also maybe we lost more. We should earn more with VIP players, for example, if we would risk more accepting big bet art from others. But nevertheless, when you're making the entertainment company, you will cut more like that. So you have to have a lot of average customers, yeah, and play with them. That's the thing.
Yeah, so I guess like overall, it sounds like you're not really interested in at all, like having good players. Like you just want people there that are there to have fun and be entertained.
Yeah, basically that's it. Yeah, we more about fun than about the customers who may like make the money for living from betting. Because as I said, all the business model of these companies, of for example, Pinnacle and Unibet or William Hill or Parimatch, is absolutely different. When you talk about, for example, instant payments, instant withdrawals, it costs a lot of money, both operationally and for billing. It's fantastic. Yeah, we have fantastic, very, very big billing costs because we are willing to withdraw money as fast as possible and make our customers to deposit as fast as possible. But when we're talking about the other companies, yeah, they may cut all these costs, and that would be okay for them because they are ready to take risk from the players who play, let's say, sharp.
Okay. Do you think it would be good of bookmakers, I guess, to maybe not advertise, but I guess like create lots of content that kind of shows mm-hmm. the more profitable ways to make money? Or do you think obviously it's probably not the greatest idea for you because you want them to lose money, but like, do you think, or have you thought about like maybe different kinds of content? Because a lot of the content that you get from bookmakers is like showing the player that won thousands and thousands of dollars off an accumulator or a parlay, multi, whatever people want to call it. Like, do you think it would be good of bookmakers to maybe share some the more profitable strategies that you talked about before, like value bets and arbitrage and this kind of stuff?
Of course, let's go back to Pinnacle. Yeah, Pinnacle advertises arbitrage, for example. If you play on Pinnacle, you will get the emails where they explain how to make arbitrage bets and so on. It's their business strategy. But I think when you can look, for example, in the Kindred Group or GVC or any other big holding who is listing at the stock market, yeah, their margin from the betting, yeah, it would be like 7-8%. So basically, accepting $100, they earn $7-$8. When I look at Pinnacle, I guess, I don't know, of course, Pinnacle is not a public company, but my gut feeling says that their margin would be like 0.5%. So from the $100, they would earn like half a dollar. From the other side, as I said, answering previous question, they do not have such a billing cost, they do not have such an advertising cost like other big companies, they do not spend money for promo and so on and so on. So basically working with a trading margin of 0.5% is quite good for them. And also, as you know, Pinnacle has limits like 40K, 50K for some big events, but often not even big. Nevertheless, yeah. But how they make the markets? Yeah, you know, if you bet with such a strategies, yeah, you know that when they come to market, yeah, they like opening limits of $100. Even they may start from $50. Yeah, they accept the bets. They making the market. And after Pinnacle took all the risks and said the right odd, for example, is 1.61 for the particular outcome, all other market takes it and it goes to the feeds and appears on the entertainment bookmakers. So entertainment bookmakers are not even able to collect all the market information. But nevertheless, such things like Betfair Exchange and Pinnacle made it because they basically match all the volumes of the professional players, let's say, who earn the money with that, who are more sure about that, and it goes such a way. And basically, you understand that Betfair Exchange or Pinnacle does not have so much markets like the entertainment bookmakers. But nevertheless, you can find the value bets in all this, I don't know, 500 plus outcomes that would have any entertainment bookmaker. And within all these outcomes, you may find the value bet, and it would be absolutely crystal clear bet. It would be fair to bet with this bet, and no one will ever cut your limits or would stop the withdrawal with that, because it's clear betting. But when you're trying to make some arbitrage with totals or the three-way or any other, yeah, that's the thing. Of course, all the market goes to arbitrage situations, but not everyone ready to accept the risk.
Yeah, do you work, or are you aware or work with like the trading team at Parimatch much at all?
No, I don't. I understand quite a lot about how it works, but I'm not in operation with the trading. So I can't even say like for sure from which feeds we trade, which market, or which percent of our trading is like manual, how much is automatic. I know that guys are doing something, and I understand it, like, you know, from the market and marketer's point of view, because I have to understand with whom I compete globally and which niche should I take. Yeah. And as I said, yeah, we are not going to take niche of Pinnacle or Betfair exchange, because it's quite another.
Yeah, we just had a question come in from Johannes van Leeuwen. He says, "Pretty much do not limit accounts for people that make $5,000 a month." I mean, I assume he's just asking, do you limit accounts that would make $5,000 a month?
No, we even do not have rules that will stop you from withdrawal all this money, because you know that, for example, some casinos, yeah, they have like withdrawal limits through the weeks or months from particular amount of winning. We pretty much withdraw the money quite fast, as I said, yeah. That's the thing. But from the other side, we are, of course, not interested in players who would make the profits. Yeah, we are not looking at players who are going to make the profit from what we do, because we make quite comfortable thing, yeah, for people who come to entertain. So even if you will win fairly, I would say fairly, that's the main thing, 5K for, I don't know, 3, 4, 6, 5, 10 months, it's absolutely no problem. But make it fair.
Okay. Do you have, like, so you haven't spent that much time with the trading team. You obviously don't work day to day with them. But mm-hmm. Has Parry Match ever thought that of a different kind of model, like Pinnacle, like you said before, that instead of stopping people or not allowing players to play with you anymore, to try and improve, like, your trading team and improve, you know, the way you react to market changes and stuff like that?
We once thought about it. It was like 4 years ago, I guess. I can't remember for sure, but it was with which problems you as bookmaker, yeah, let's say, not as a customer, will face. Firstly, it's the deposit limits of the payment systems, yeah, because when you talk about the professional players, you have to be to be able to accept like 10k or 20k of deposit and make it quite fast. Yeah. The second thing is that website has to be ultra reliable, but better when we're talking about the professional players, not like entertainment players who sort of themselves as professional. We're now talking about high limits betting with basically individual odds, because when you bet like 10k or 20k, yeah, you can say it would be not 1.61, but it I want to have 1.63, because this to the decimal this two will cost you a lot. The other thing was the support, the customer support of these customers. Why? Because the customer support representative have to have enough power to say that we may accept bets with a higher odd. Yeah, but to have such a customer support representative, you have to train them a lot, because their mistakes would cost a lot for the company, and their rejections would also cost a lot for the company. So it's a problem to train them. And maybe the third thing, yeah, that anyway you have to contact somehow with the big Asian syndicates, and not only Asian syndicates, yeah, who accept very big bets, and be like in market with them, because it's like there are the part of betting world. It's not like entertainment bookmakers, it's not like public like Pinnacle or Betfair exchange. But it's like the world of bets with $1 million. And we just know nothing about that, because we are not in that market yet. Absolutely. So if you want to make like to build up such a bookmaker company, you should start, as I said, with the possibility to deposit a lot, 10k plus with one transaction, to have customer support representatives to accept the risk, and the third to understand how works the world of real big money. Because, for example, SBO Bet, you should know the company, yeah? SBO Bet.
Yeah.
They also accept the sharp players, yeah? But basically, as far as I understand, yeah, they are closer to that market, yeah, and they understand how to accept the bet, place them on the market, yeah, and work with the margin of the price. And that's how I see. I'm not from the trading, of course. I'm from marketing, but that's how I see their business model. So it's quite another business, let's say.
Yeah, definitely. I was wanting to ask you a bit more about affiliate deals too, like what kind of affiliate deals you guys do at Parimatch, because I've heard about lots of deals where, especially from like the tipster industry, where tipsters mm-hmm. are affiliated with bookmakers and it's a lost revenue scheme. So like if they make their money off people losing from their tips. So I'm wondering if Parimatch has ever gone into those kind of deals, or like what other affiliate deals you do?
We accept a lot of affiliates, except from fraud, when they drive traffic from absolute, they basically not owned by them. Talking about tipsters, you know, there are a lot of tipsters like with their channels, closed channels, open channels, and so on. When you, as I said previously, when we're talking about the value bets, it's a lot of work. Yeah, it's not like take the arbitrage situation, just pay, I don't know, $50 a month to take this arbitrage scanner and just play the bets and think that you're a professional player earning money. Yeah, it's not about that. It's about fraud from my point of view. When you're talking about the value bets, it's a lot of work because you have to learn a lot of markets. And for example, I don't know, for example, 0-0 draw and total less than 0.5. Yeah, it's basically the same outcome, but in different markets with different margin in different companies. Yeah. So when you're understanding such things, you can earn money or you can teach someone to earn money. So it's not like cheap, but it's a basic understanding of basic trading, let's say. When you're talking about tipsters and all other kind of affiliates, they would say that try to turn, go to the particular slot game. We know there is such a traffic around the world. Yeah, they say like, we know that, I don't know, Book of Ra is broken now, or Starburst is broken now on any website. Go there, deposit $20, make like three spins, then reload the page, then make the bet not $1 for the line, but 1.5. And after that, the slot will give you the money. So it's of course absolute bullshit, and we do not accept traffic from let's say we call it schemes. Yeah, so the scheme traffic is prohibited. Talking about tipsters, I don't see any problem with that, because basically you also listen for some pundits on the TV. Yeah, but you may say that they are right or they are wrong. It's okay. It's the reason to believe the particular people. When we're talking about tipsters, yeah, if people have a reason to believe, if these tipsters go give them link to they're driving to the websites as affiliates, it's okay, because people have their reason to believe, and people are too lazy to find their own value bets. If you are not going to find it to apply some of your energy, yeah, to find all this stuff by yourself. Okay, maybe these tipsters will be right. Yeah, maybe they will like drive you through 3 months' profit. It's okay.
Yeah, okay. So does Parimatch do loss revenue scheme, like affiliate deals, or, and if they do or they don't, like what other affiliate types of deals do you do?
Basically, all our affiliate traffic, of course, divided into two parts. It's revenue sharing and CPA. When we're talking about CPA, yep, it's more about arbitrage situations within some advertising networks, where guys are able to drive traffic more efficiently than our internal media buying team, or our media buying team does not have enough time or expertise to drive traffic in particular country. Talking about the revenue sharing affiliates, I know a lot of them, yeah, and they are more about like search engine optimization. Yeah, they raise their bookmaker reviews and so on, and it's okay. Yeah, we work with them. So I would say that, for example, review traffic from reviews is okay. We accept it, absolutely no problem. Of course, I understand that sometimes these review websites may take the organic traffic of some competitors as well on those markets where we are, or where we are big. The same affiliates may take the traffic from pretty much keywords and drive to other companies. And you know, there is no solution, because what would you do? DDoS them? Of course not. So you have to work with them. It's business. All we're talking about the search engine optimization, it's business. So you have to understand to take the traffic and just you know, go to the business situation and not like, no, it's not right that you're taking the traffic from the others, or then try to say that someone is taking traffic from you. It's normal business situation.
How does your I'm not sure if you're a part of this from the marketing side, but how do you decide what sports and what markets get like odds boosts and all these kind of offers?
Yeah, we work with it. So basically, marketing is a driver for that. So, for example, when we became sponsors of UFC, we gave UFC with zero margin. Of course, all the UFC events gone very minus for us, because there wasn't even any chance for us to earn any money. Yeah. But nevertheless, we understood that we have to build up the knowledge that pretty much is UFC, and we have the best odds. So it was normal situation for us with that. Talking about the boosts, we made drive all this thing. Of course, when we talk about boosts, it doesn't mean that we will go for zero margin. Yeah, it would be margin like 2 or 3% for the key markets, but nevertheless, yeah, it would be boosts. Talking about some special markets, yeah, we also accept trading accepts our offering on that, and basically we may promote it. But as I said, yeah, when we're talking about the boosts, it's not about like let's make the margin minus for us. For me to have the best odds all around the world, because price in betting is only in entertainment betting, let's say, it's only one of many others reasons to buy for customers. So we know like bet365 does not have the best margin, yeah. Unibet does not have the best margin, but nevertheless Pinnacle has very good margin, but much more fewer customers play with Pinnacle than with bet365. It's not about the price. It's about all other customer experience. As I said, that any entertainment bookmaker with all their revenues can grant to the customers. That's it.
Is there a particular sport that's really hard for you guys to be profitable on? I mean, I understand that, you know, UFC might be, or MMA might be quite hard because you're taking a smaller margin, but what about some of the other sports? Is there a sport where you just go, oh, we're losing so much money on soccer, or we're losing so much money on golf and all this kind of stuff?
Let's say there are particular tournaments that may be with some fixed matches. So we had these issues with, for example, esports, when we saw that esports is going good, basically good, but there are particular tournaments that, for example, if you have, I don't know, margin of 6% for the esports as a whole, but for some tournaments we have like 3%, and we understand that someone knows that what will happen in this tournament, because it's impossible. Yeah, if we trade all with 1%, yeah, and after all, in other tournaments, from month to month, have 2 times less. So it may say that some of the matches are fixed, but of course, that's like, for example, when match was fixed, yeah, basically no bookmaker would say you that, because as I said, for example, in terms of bad players, yeah, if customer representative says that from our side we're seeing that match was fixed, is the official position of the company. And as you know, it's a very big pain that very few cases of fixed matches go to the court. So before the court gave the decision that the match was fixed, basically no one can say that it was fixed. Yeah, it's like just bookmakers just start to withdraw them from the line, from the websites. Yeah, but no one would ever say that, you know, that was fixed match, so we stopped accepting bets. It's all about the brand, the trust, and all the things, you know. So I would say, yeah, that we had such a situation of problems with sports, but a few years ago it was a structure situation, because there were no feeds, there were no historic information in esports. So basically we were happy, I don't know, with 2 and 2.5% margin for all the sport. And it was the problem of that we were losing money just because we did not have enough information. Talking about other sports, I would say that basically it goes well. For example, I don't know, like small sports with good base, like badminton, golf, no problem with them. Even table tennis goes quite good. Nevertheless, it's quite a hard sport, yeah, for trade. But for example, we accept live bets, yeah, for table tennis. So majority of our table tennis bets are live. But we are not ready very often to take risks for pre-match bets, because we are afraid that these matches may not be too fair, yeah, okay, from the very beginning.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense, mate. Do you guys set your own odds, or do you buy it from providers, or maybe do like a, I know, like the, I think in the Canby group, they source a lot of their odds, you know, like Unibet, Mr. Green, like you said before, 888 Sport, they kind of have all the same odds because they're all from the same provider. How do you guys set your odds?
We have our own trading department. Of course, we have contracts with Betrader, BetGenius, and all others. Yeah, we buy all this stuff. Nevertheless, we hope we have our own mathematician teams. We have our own trading tools, and all the odds that are coming. I would say even when we buying odds feed, not the feed of chance. Even when we buying the odds feed that may be placed directly to the website. Nevertheless, all this stuff going through our own models. That's it. We are not selling it to anyone as for now, so you can't find. If you find somewhere the same odds that pretty much have, it means that someone stolen them, because it's not B2B platform. It's absolute B2C. Our trading tools it's all for us. Maybe for some tournaments that are like, as I said, I don't know, the second leaks or the third leaks, yeah, it may be like an odds fit that going directly to the product, but there would be limits like $40 for the bet. That's it.
I've got a couple more questions for you, mate, and thanks for being so generous with your time. And if anyone's got any last minute questions, make sure you send them through for Ivan. This is the last kind of question about the trading side of things. Does the trading department do lots of risk management kind of stuff? So let's just say you've taken lots of, let's just say it's Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier. You've taken lots of bets on Conor McGregor throughout all of pre-match, and you're realizing that, you know, if Conor McGregor wins, you're going to be liable to a lot of damage. Whereas if Dustin wins, I mean, it would be great. But do you try and hedge off some of your risk at another bookmaker, or explain that process if you do any kind of like risk management strategies other than limiting players?
It's not the situation to apply like cutting the limits of players, yeah, because it's not about the situation. About the risk management in the station you talk now, I think for the big betting companies, it finished like 8 years ago or 10 years ago when they accept too much bets for the one end. And trying to make a bet somewhere else. Why? Because basically, you accept these risks because statistically, you accept so much bets every month that after all, your margin will be okay. If you're accepting, for example, I don't know, it's a very big difference when you're accepting 50,000 bets per month and 1 million plus bets per day. Yeah, it's absolutely different volumes. So, of course, so your margin would be okay till the end of the month. If not in this month, the next month. So it's not about making the hedge such a way. And the other thing, as I also told before, basically all the world is quite look-alike now, yeah? As I said, yeah, the market comes to a pinnacle. Pinnacle starts to play with the market, yeah, growing the limits, and after that, this odds coming to all other websites, and from these odds, all other bookmakers counting all the other outcomes to their product. So that's it. That's the market, and it's not like you accepted a bet for Conor McGregor at 3.5, and then you understand that he will win, and now the odds for him is 1.3. And no one would accept this bet with interesting odds for you. That's the thing. You should rebet them that time that it was 3.5, but no one thinks about that from that perspective now.
Yeah, so I guess you take a pretty similar approach to what a value bettor would, that, you know, you might have a losing week or, you know, losing time, but over time that there's no need to hedge off your risk if you're taking, you know, plus expected value bets like you guys are with the margin you take. Has Parry Match, I don't know if you know, but have they ever had a losing month or like where you've lost money overall from betting?
Sorry, can you please repeat?
Yeah, no, it's okay. I was just wondering if Parry Match has ever had a month where they've lost money, like you said, where they've just...
Yeah, I'm listening. Sorry, I had some issues with the connection. For so long I work with the company. I work for 7+ years. I can't remember any months. Of course, we had minus days. We may had minus week. But I can't remember that we had the minus months. So all the months is in terms of gross gambling revenue were positive. Of course, this positivity may vary depending on the margin, depending on the number of events. Of course, we have problems with the number of bets, except in during the COVID, the lockdown months where there are no football matches at all. Yeah, we understand that a lot. But it didn't cause us losing money.
Okay, cool. Yeah, My Better Life just sent in a question about whether you would consider a business model like Pinnacles or the Asian bookies. And yes, Neil, he answered that about maybe about 15, 20 minutes ago. So you'll have to rewind and get that question answered, mate. Last question for you. I was a bit of a fun question. Since you have been, you have your brand ambassadors, Conor McGregor and Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, I'm sorry, Cristiano Ronaldo is not a brand ambassador, but maybe like Mike Tyson. Have you ever been able to meet the likes of, have you ever met Conor McGregor or any of these guys? And what was that like?
I met Mike Tyson when he came to us. I also met Conor McGregor. But for me, it's not like I know some, even my wife said, it's Conor McGregor, we have to go to shake his hand. But for me, there is no like something within, oh, this Conor McGregor, I should shake his hand. I don't know. If it was Elon Musk or someone like that, I maybe be like a 10-year-old boy who's looking in the eyes of Zinedine Zidane. Yeah, when I was 10 years boy, I would like be like, oh, Zinedine Zidane. So for me now, it's not like Conor McGregor or the other guys. It would be such an idol. That's the thing.
Okay, fun, mate. And then one last question just come in from My Better Life. He says, was curious what the nature of the business relationship is with BetVictor in the UK. Will you be operating your risk management in the same way?
The business in the UK is operated basically on the platform of BetVictor. I don't know about the risk management they have within the platform. So it's like our franchise business. So we also have this model. We are both making like operators. Yeah, we are operator with our own platform. We also look at the model of operating on white label platform in some regions when we are too busy to make good platform for the particular region. If there is some players that are basically selling the tailor-made platforms. And the third model is basically franchise, because we have quite a good brand that we now advertise all over the world. So we think it's quite a good idea. Yeah, when you are giving all the spec of brand ambassadors who can be run global oral advertising campaigns and all this stuff, yeah, to be used. Like you may say, I would like to work in the, I don't know, Spanish market, let's say. I know how to take the license, and you may go to some white label solution, buy the white label, then you come to pretty much take the franchise over the brand, and you do not have any headache with building up brand, because we give everything, brand book, all our previous advertising campaigns, all these materials that we're getting ready for every sponsored team match, and so on. So that's how it works. So we are not in operations with some of our businesses.
Okay, great, Ivan, mate. I've really enjoyed having you on the show today, mate. I've thrown some tough questions, and so have our listeners and watchers too. So thank you for answering all those questions. And is there anything else you'd like to say? Maybe where best ways people can find you and what you're doing at the moment, or any big plans coming up for Parimatch?
Firstly, I would say thank you, Alex. Yeah, I think it was quite a good stream, mostly because, when I come to be interviewed by someone, it would say, oh, and how it was. But your tough questions made our discussion quite interesting. I like it very much. Yeah. Talking about future plans, I can't say for now, for sure. Yeah.
Maybe Cristiano Ronaldo as a brand ambassador.
Yeah, maybe you're looking forward for something I still don't know, but I hope I would know the nearest time. because it would be very, very good for us if it became possible. Yeah. So yeah, basically we work a lot with making the models of the returning of investment, it all the sponsorship things. So we count a lot, and we became more and more mature company, and looking to be more global with that.
Okay, awesome, mate. Thanks again, and thanks everyone for watching. Please, if you've enjoyed today's stream, give it a like, comment any questions you have afterwards, and I can get to them later, and subscribe to our channel. Next week, I'll be back, obviously, once again, Sunday, same time. I'm not too sure of the format yet, but we should have another guest on the show and have a bit of fun and answer more of your questions. Thanks, Ivan, once again, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.